Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Port City. We are back in the building. Let's go.
For their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you're about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this?
Okay. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. And Sports City, I'm a little at the edge of my seat. I don't really want to say I'm pissed off, but I got to, you know, get that in as we get ready to go over a couple of the topics before we get into our week 11. But first and foremost, let me allow one of the co-hosts in the building. We have Aaron in the building. Aaron, welcome to the bunch. How are you feeling this Sunday morning?
I'm feeling good with quite a week. We've got a lot to get in today, like you said, so I'm ready to go.
Okay, and I'll let everybody get here as they can because, you know, I guess people are getting used to the time adjustment or whatever. So it's just me and you for now. I'll feed off of you. I'll cook as much as I possibly can, and I'm going to get to the one thing that actually has me at the end of my seat and kick off. And I'm going to feed right into the top 25 so I could try and do the best that I can to get through the score notes and things of that nature. But starting out the week with the top 25, LSU takes care of business up against Ole Miss, 58-37. Ohio State wins their game 56-21. In Rutgers, Clemson wins their game in a landslide 52-3 up against Wake Forest at home. Georgia wins their game in an SEC battle 21-14. Interesting game late, but Georgia basically had this game in hand. I'm going to stop right here. Alabama wins their game 38-7 up against Mississippi State, in which Tua Tagovailoa, I don't even know how to say it, but I'm trying to pronounce his name because I don't even know if we'll be able to say his name any longer in football. But I'm trying to get it right. Tua Tagovailoa, right? I think that's how it's pronounced. I'm going to say it correctly.
As close as you've gotten, Ty, close as you've gotten. You're getting there.
I always say his first name and just leave him alone. But I'm a big Tua fan. I don't like Alabama at all. And I respect this kid's talent and what he brings to the table. And one of the best pinpoint passes I've seen in a while, and I hate to throw the person that I'm going to throw around in this conversation, the last pinpoint pass I've seen in college football like this would be Sam Bradford, in which Sam Bradford was injury-prone as well. And Tua's situation was he's always had bad ankles. It's like every time he gets sacked, it's like they bring him down with his legs. Like some odd reason. They don't hit him up top or something, but they always get him at his legs and his ankles always bother him. There's a play where he's rolling out to the sideline. He gets tackled by two Mississippi State players in which he gets the pass off. However, it looks like a simple tackle, but I'm going back into like my timeline, if you will, and making me think. But I think about a game where the Oakland Raiders were playing the Cincinnati Bengals, and Bo Jackson had a run, and this is when he was hitting those 90-yard runs, and he gets up the sideline, and he gets caught right around the 5 or 6-yard line. It was a simple tackle, but Bo couldn't get up. Bo couldn't move, and it's like one of our, you know, heroes, the kids that, you know, the kids of my era looked up to and looking at Bo Jackson running up walls, hitting home runs, in baseball, home runs in football. If he seen daylight, you couldn't catch him. And he was laid on the ground. He couldn't get up and had a dislocated hip and ended his football career in the NFL. Tua has the same injury in which when he got hit and the, you know, the players broke away from him, he was screaming ridiculously. And when they got him on the cart to get him off the field, he couldn't even lay on that side. He had to lay on one side kind of in the, you know, a baby fetal position. And
it was really hard to watch.
Definitely this is the end of the season for him. But I just don't want this to be the end of his career, in which I had high hopes for him to try to at least make the NFL because he's a shorter quarterback. And I don't know. I think a lot of teams will probably, you know, wince at the situation. Well, he's already short. He may have a good arm and has good accuracy and is a winning caliber quarterback, but they'll worry about his proneness to injury. So this is a tough one, but I'm going to keep moving. We'll get right back to this one. Oregon wins their game up against Arizona 34-6. Utah wins their matchup up against UCLA 49-3. Iowa with the upset of the day for me, 23-19, in which they had the lead, excuse me, all game up against Minnesota. Minnesota tried to make this a game. Minnesota coming up with a big win up against Penn State last week, and now they end up falling short up against Iowa. And it's always like that in the Big Ten. It's funny. But Iowa comes up with a big win up against Minnesota in a Big Ten matchup. Penn State wins their matchup up against Indiana 34-27. Indiana made this a game late, but they couldn't get that one possession to close the door. Game of the day. Oklahoma wins their matchup 34-31, in which Oklahoma was facing a 25-point deficit, comes back, and here comes Jalen Hurts to save the day. But he ended up putting in a bigger chance to be one of the mentioned quarterbacks for the Heisman. We'll see, but I don't think so. But I think
that gave him a shot yesterday, though. I think definitely gave him a chance. It put him back on the board, in my opinion.
The leap that he's made from Alabama to get to Oklahoma to make the difference with this team. They've only suffered one loss up against Kansas State. I think this performance puts him back at least somewhat near the driver's seat. The next matchup I have is Florida taking on Missouri, winning their game in Mizzou 23-6. Wisconsin wins their matchup in Nebraska 37-21. Michigan takes care of Michigan State, big brother, little brother, 44-10. I don't know what – and they bring the Paul Bunyan Trophy home as well. I don't know what they're going to do with D'Antonio. This will be interesting as Michigan has not beaten Michigan State in a while. So this is big. Notre Dame comes up with a big win up against Navy, 52-20. Cincinnati has a nail-biter up against South Florida, winning this game in South Florida, 20-17. Memphis wins their matchup up against Houston, 45-27. Another upset on the day. Iowa State wins their game at home up against Texas, 23-21. Boise State wins their matchup up against New Mexico, 42-9. Oklahoma State wins their matchup up against Kansas, 31-13. West Virginia beats Kansas State, potentially knocking them out of the top 25, 24-20. And to round out the top 25, Appalachian State is still in the top 25, winning their matchup up against Georgia State, 56-27. Aaron, I know that you had something that you wanted to talk about. I don't know if you wanted to spill into the Tua injury. I'll allow you to get in on that, and we do have people here as well. I'll let the person in, and I'll let you go too. Aaron, we have James in the building. James, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good, Ty. Only 5 minutes late.
New getting record. Better, James. Getting better.
Getting better.
Getting closer. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen one of these days. I'm going
to
make it.
Stop it. They gave you an hour. The daylight saving time, they gave you an hour. Like they said, fall back. You got a whole another 60 minutes and you need five more. Like, I don't know. Well, okay. But Aaron, I'll let you get into the top 25 with you, Aaron. I don't know how much James caught because I just see him here. Your thoughts on, I don't know whether the injury, some of the upsets, because there's some big teams that have fallen. I'll let you start.
All right. Well, really quickly, just on the Tua injury, it's just something you hate to see. Just as a human being, it was tough to watch. You know my feelings about Alabama. Not a fan, but I, ever since the day I saw Tua come in the second half to replace Jalen Hurts as a true freshman. I mean, you think about how young that is, 18 years old, true freshman, and came in and put that team on his back and played like he'd been there his whole life. I knew that he was something special, aside from that pinpoint passing that you talked about. He's clearly done for the year. As someone who has dealt with some severe hip issues, issues. I cannot even imagine the pain that he was in. And it's going to be a difficult rehab. He's got a long road ahead of him. But if anyone can put in the work, is tough enough to do it, and is dedicated enough to do it, I do see Tua doing whatever it takes to come back and at least put himself in position and get as healthy as possible. I do think, obviously, there's an injury concern. I had mentioned this before, talking to you, Ty. As you know, I had picked LSU to beat a healthy Tua in Alabama, and I had picked Burrow for the Heisman. But I had still expected Tua to possibly go ahead of him in the draft until these injuries started popping up. And I think you kind of add that with the fact that he's shorter in stature, and it is going to make a lot of teams kind of pause and rethink investing long-term in him. You know, my question is, does he now still rehab, he won't be ready for the draft or the combine, does he still go pro, where you'd have to expect he'd fall? There will be teams that take him. He's too talented, he's too good, and he's young. So I have no doubt that if he makes a recovery as expected, which is the one, you know, good thing coming out of this, and I know you mentioned how Bo Jackson had never come back to play professional football again. Obviously, since that time, we've made so many advances medically, that I would have to imagine that they can, you know, get him back. And as a tennis player, I see it all the time where guys are coming back with titanium hips at 40 years old and playing and things like that. I know they don't take the hits, but what I'm getting at is medically, I do believe that he will be able to come back and put himself in a position to play. The question to me really becomes is how do you do that? What's the process behind that? And does he really take his time? Even consider sitting out a year or, you know, playing another year? Or does he take his chances with the draft, in which case he will clearly fall? You know, who knows where? Like I said, someone will take him. But and as a kid who's hardworking, it kind of hurts your heart for him, too, a little bit, knowing that that was a several million-dollar hit that he took, you know, meaning even with the ankles, he was a sure thing to go first round towards the top of the draft. And, you know, those paychecks are a lot different than the guys going third, fourth, fifth round, which is where I could see him falling to, unless he does something just absolutely spectacular coming back. But, you know, it's not like Alabama doesn't have a bunch of players behind him ready to go. I think they'll go on business as usual. I didn't expect them to win the national championship this year anyway, and it will be nice to see hopefully someone new in the mix off of that. Other than that, I thought, you know, I did see Iowa as a tough game for Minnesota coming off the biggest win in that program's history. I also thought of my boy Jose, because I can tell you as a fan, there is nothing worse than watching your team take a tough loss and then see that team go out the next week and lose. You know, you want to at least see him follow up with the win or I don't know. So just rubbed a little salt in the wound on that Penn State loss, in my opinion, too. But other than that, I know there were some upsets, but with business as usual at top, I think Burrow kind of cemented himself as the absolute front runner for the Heisman. I think he's going to really have to kind of blow up as the season ends for him not to take that trophy home.
James, your thoughts on the games that took place this week, college football, and if you have any perspective towards some of the upsets or Tua's injury?
So I'm going to start with the Tua's injury, because the NFL draft is kind of my wheelhouse, and I don't think it's going to change his draft stock that much. I know injuries typically can do that, but at this point, what we're looking at right now is he was never going to go number one anyway, not with how the season's been going on, especially for LSU. But But you also have to remember that next year, Trevor Lawrence is almost definitely going to come out into the draft, and he will be consensus number one pick. So I don't think this drops him two or three rounds unless this is something that's going to be career-threatening. The tape's going to speak for itself, and he's going to still be likely top half of the first round coming out of this, even if he doesn't play another snap for the rest of the year, misses the – well, he wouldn't do the Senior Bowl anyway, but misses
for the,
any
– for sure.
Right, yeah. So even if he's – even if he does nothing before he come – before, you know, before draft day, the tape's going to speak for itself, and he's going to be still a top half of the first-round pick because the talent's – there's too much talent there to really question – whether that injury is going to really hurt him long-term, I think, anyway.
Well, my question is really quickly, too. I think, you know, the ankles to me were a very long-term concern. It was a recurring problem. It's something he's always struggled with. And that, to me, was a big red flag. Does this hit, in your guys' opinion, is this just an example of the game, the tough part about football, and he made a great play but took a brutal hit and suffered a bad injury as a result? Or do you think this adds to, you know, it falls under the category of being injury prone? Because I see it more, the ankle's more of the long-term issue, and this is just a horrible injury that comes at a really horrible time for him.
Yeah, I would say, in my opinion, that's how this kind of works. Is it's not like he's suffering the same injury as far as the most recent one's concerned. This is an injury he's like getting caught up with all the time. It's just, hey, there was this one really super brutal hit. It does speak to the fact that he needs to be smarter when taking those hits, and, you know, realize he has to slide if he needs to, you know, take the sack if he needs to, toss it away if he needs to, you know.
Did you see the hit? It wasn't a brutal hit. It wasn't a brutal hit that he took. It was just that two guys fell on him, and he fell wrong. It wasn't a brutal hit that he took, though. The fact of the matter is that the way that he took it, because he was rolling toward the sideline, he got the ball out of his hands, and the way that they fell on him is like his knee drove into the ground, and that's what potentially, at least from what I'm thinking, may have caused a dislocation. I agree that all of these quarterbacks that may potentially be injury prone need to slide, but when Tua gets hit, it's not like he's taking a tackle. They'll catch Tua from behind and trip him up, and he'll roll his ankle bad. That's been the history of what he's been suffering as of late before this one. But this is the same situation. He got the pass off, and they fell on him after the pass was gone. And I don't want to say, oh, well, throw the flag, because this is how they look at other quarterbacks if they hit him after the pass, because it is starting to get brutal with the way the refs throw flags, even if a guy is like a half a step there. You know, come on, like, I don't know how they stop from attempting to make the tackle, you know. So it's a tough situation on how they do tackle him, and it's tough on how these quarterbacks are going to try and slide to cause safety. But how? Like, especially in the heat of the game where they're trying to make a play, the other defenders trying to make a play too. So it is tough, but it wasn't one of those, you know, I don't want to say like the Kiko Alonso, Joe Flacco hit, you know, like it wasn't nothing like that. So I understand where you're coming from, but the devastation of the hit wasn't what you're thinking. It wasn't one of those type of hits.
It was more of a fluke. Would you call it more of a fluke, kind of a fluke injury?
Right,
right. Like you said, in the way they fell and how it occurred.
James, is there anything else that you'd like to add? Or?
Nope. That is no. I'm good.
Okay, so we'll get away from that. Tua, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a diehard Hurricane fan. I'm still bitter about '91 on the national championship that we lost to Alabama. I always wanted to have us redeem that. Never got back to that. But I do want to see you get on the field, and this would be one success story if he could get back out there, because he. Yeah, I think he has potential to start on Sundays, to start, not even to play, be a part of a roster, and I'm not saying fresh out the gate as a rookie, but I feel like he has the potential to make a team better. Like, I think he does have that. But this right here, I'm hoping that he's able to play football again. But just like Aaron said, technology's a beast nowadays. I'm just hoping that you get better, too. I'm rooting for you, for real. Anything around the sport world that you guys would like to discuss before we do get into the Week 11 picks and thoughts and things that have happened or that are going to happen going into the games this week?
Just really quick, I want to get your opinion. It's become obviously it's the hit heard around the world with what's going on with Myles Garrett and just a horrible way to end that game on Thursday night. Just sad is really the word that comes to mind. And also, thank goodness Mason Rudolph was not hurt or severely injured, or this would be a whole different kind of conversation. But I know everyone in the football world is talking about it. What surprised me is just how many people I'm seeing on the streets, people who are not football watchers, not football fans, a lot of moms, a lot of people around town talking about it, and not just talking about what happened, but really strongly believe that Myles Garrett should be arrested. And at first I thought it was, you know, a serious overreaction or you know, and then I thought about it and watched the video again, and you know, with the intent, you see the intent to rip the helmet off and then go after him, and we all know how heavy those helmets are and how strong Garrett is. And I know the police were contacted, and it would be up to Mason Rudolph, would have to press charges. But I guess I just wanted really quickly to get your guys' opinion on that, on just how serious was it to you, and do you think Myles Garrett should be allowed to play football again?
Now, this is a very interesting topic for me, okay? Now, of course, when I play football, I play D-line, so I know the war in the trenches, right? And everybody, you know, ultimate goal is to get to the quarterback, sack him, or cause some disruption, or get a touch, hurry up, make him throw a crazy pass so we can get to another down. In which, this game was in hand, the game was over. Now, I'm not taking any side. And ultimately, well, before I start the breakdown of what I'm going to say, Mason Rudolph has something to do with it too. But I'm not trying to say, oh, well look at what Mason did. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not. Because at the ultimate situation, Myles Garrett, that is foolish. That is absolutely ridiculous, right? And I'm going to say that right now before I get into this. So the play happens. Then whatever happens, it's a screenplay. It's out in the flat. Myles Garrett gets there a half second, you know, after the ball is gone. He goes to the ground with them, in which Mason Rudolph, to me, is pissed because they're losing, and he's getting tackled after the ball is out. There's eight to 5 seconds on the clock. He pulls Myles Garrett's helmet first. So you see when they're on the ground, his helmet is going toward Mason Rudolph because you see all of the braids underneath the helmet are getting pressed, in which they said that there was a kick. I didn't see the kick. You can't really see that he kicked him in the groin or whatever, so I can't say that I've seen it. So I'll just do the helmet pull. They get up, and Mason Garrett does the same thing and pulls his helmet, but it, just like you said, he's ox strong, and he pulls his helmet off his head. And then now this is Mason Rudolph, like, saying what he needs to say. At this point, this is where I think Myles Garrett went completely overboard, and this is what America sees. There's no reason for you to swing a helmet at a dude without his helmet that you just took his helmet off of his head. Like, throw the helmet somewhere or be pissed and yell in his face. Like, you know that you could fracture his skull. You could do something or knock him out if it hits his temple and he could be in a coma or something. Like, you know that, especially with your strength. Just especially with your strength. Now, thinking about the severity of the situation where Mason Rudolph could press charges and have this guy go to jail for assault, this would be interesting because it is a rightful assault on the field.
Yep.
Everybody knows football is a control rage. There's only so much that you could protect Myles Garrett in this situation. But I feel bad for Myles Garrett because this is the end of his season. And I wonder how teams look at him. I wonder if the Browns would be like, well, welcome back next season, and you know, we got to try and get past the situation, which I feel the Browns will try to do. But you already put your team behind the eight ball because they're struggling. Freddie Kitchens may be fired at the end of the season. All of the talent you guys have on this team and you guys are not showing any progress, you guys are all in a bad situation, let alone you are winning the game. You were up 2 touchdowns. How many touchdowns can they score in 5 seconds? Like, they would have to get – that screenplay had to get to the house, which is 95 yards away. They had to kick onside in a second, catch that, and then do another. The game is over, dog. Like, what, I don't know what you're thinking about. So it's crazy for me to think about what Myles Garrett was going through in his head and then what he said afterward. It's like he knew – how wrong he was. Like, so I just hearing him do the public apology and not sounding like it was scripted, I understand where he's coming from. So I feel bad for him because he doesn't have this history. He doesn't have a laundry list of hearing about Myles Garrett being this, you know, ridiculous and Dominican Sue-like player. I mean, he has some personal fouls, but that happens in football. So I don't know.
Or like Avon has perfect type guy. He's not a repeat offender.
And Vontaze has poked his head up and trying to call him out too, but I don't even want to dig into that box of trying to bring him, or make him relevant in this situation too. But James, I'll let you elaborate how you feel about this situation as well.
So, so Myles Garrett's season has to be over. That's number one. You swung a helmet at a dude, your year is done. As far as getting arrested, let's be completely honest. Mason Rudolph is not innocent on this, and Mason Rudolph did a lot of things that were not very smart. First of all, why are you running up to a dude that just ripped your helmet off after, you know, why did you get up and run after the dude after he ripped your helmet off? Why are you trying to rip the dude's helmet off in the first place? Mason Rudolph is, I'm not going to say equally culpable, but he is also culpable in this situation right now.
I agree with you, James, up and like Ty said, up until the
point where Myles Garrett
took a full swing. So I agree that up until then it was tit for tat and Mason Rudolph instigated the heck out of it, but that's where it has to stop no matter what. So you can't call them almost equally culpable, I don't think.
I'm not calling them equally culpable. I mean, and I'm saying up to the point where that helmet got swung, Mason Rudolph, but he definitely deserves a punishment for his part in this whole ordeal. Because honestly, at the end of the day, this makes the NFL look bad. This makes the NFL look really bad. Because it's right there in the limelight, like primetime game. And something that most people find utterly disgusting just happened. But, you know, Mason Rudolph could have sat and just laid on the ground. He could have done it. So I think that the one thing the NFL is not going to do that they should do is also give a significant game penalty to Mason Rudolph. That's just my opinion. But I think that's kind of all I have to say about it is Myles Garrett's obviously wrong. Mace Rudolph was also obviously wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else involved, I think, while they have to get punished, I think that everything else is just kind of the culture of the game. Like, I don't blame a dude for punching, or I don't blame Pouncey for punching Myles Garrett after the swing happened. Like, I don't blame him at all for that.
For him to get three games, I think they need to appeal that. Like you watched it happen. The two linemen that are in front of Pouncey is like, wait, y'all didn't react that crazy either? Like, hold on. Y'all getting paid millions of dollars to protect the quarterback. Like, Pouncey the only one that I would call ride or die. Like, Pouncey, I'm taking you out for steak for the rest of the week. Like, if they get that type of money, like, where you want to go? Like, we're good. Like, I know you got my back. Like,
Right.
So I feel three games is like, come on, give him one or two. Like, come on, is Mason Rudolph not getting nothing and he instigated it, but the guy who's coming to help retaliate for him is a whole other scenario. So I don't know, man. This is a very interesting question in, you know, how the NFL, you know,
It'll be interesting to see what unfolds in the coming months, because I think the easy part is suspending him for the season. That's easy.
Right.
That's obvious. Everyone agrees upon that. I think where it's going to become interesting and where the story will develop becomes what happens after the season. And I agree with you, Ty, that I felt the apology was genuine. It came off as someone who realized that they had just made a life-altering mistake and would have given anything to take it back. I agree with Mason Rudolph, the statements about him. I thought his behavior was horrible as well. I'm wondering if that maybe did play into the fact that I know the police did approach him. He was interviewed, and he had made it clear to the police that he would not be pressing charges and did not want charges brought. Because, like you said, Ty, it was an assault. It was a definition of an assault. That helmet was a weapon, and had he connected right, I mean, we could be talking about Mason Rudolph in the past tense. And I know that sounds extreme, and I'm not usually one to react like that, but it really, after carrying around my son Michael's helmet all season this year, those things are heavy, and you put them in the arms of a beast like that. So it will be really interesting to see what happens, and look out the next time these two teams play. And it is unfortunate because Cleveland was just coming off a big win against a division rival. They haven't beaten in years, have a horrible record, and they finally had some good momentum and positive momentum going forward on the season, coming off a two-game win streak, and now this is all anyone can talk about. So we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue calling from the 203-559. Welcome to the brunch. What's your name and what's on your mind this morning?
Ty, it's Jose. How you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm just not home. I'm just out of town. I'm still here. I'm glad to make it. Talking about the situation, I think you should put the blame all on the person who started it. You talk about tit for tat, you can't get the tit without the tat. You get what I'm saying? He would have never reacted if the quarterback wasn't Rudolph wasn't trying to pull a helmet off of his head. You know, he only tried to do what was done to him. I know he went overboard and hit him with the helmet, but you are telling me that you don't know the NFL is not putting any blame on the quarterback or the situation who started it. It wasn't a late hit. I didn't see a flag for a late hit, so he was in the right. You know, I don't get it. They just put all the blame on him because he acted out of violence. It didn't look good for the NFL. And if the NFL really want to get to the bottom of this, you got to stop where it started. You can't just go where, you know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? You have to stop where, if you're able to penalize Randolph, they really said, you know what? Now we understand. It doesn't matter if they're a quarterback or not. You shouldn't put a start in problems no matter who you are.
This is very interesting, and this is the one thing that has me kind of like mad at like sports and just things in life. Not even just sports. This happens in life too. Like, and I may sound like the pisser in this situation, but I'm gonna say it like this: it's always when they catch the person reacting, you know, and it's always like that in life, no matter what, whether it's a school fight, whether it's the fight on the field, the fight on the basketball court, wherever the physical altercation is, the one that responds and replies or does something to react, and they don't see what happens. But now in the day of technology where all of the cameras, there's nobody that doesn't have a camera on their nostril. Like, you can't even breathe without watching dust fly around your nose. Like, and it's like they didn't see the Mason situation. Like, Mason's name is still in the clear. Like there's no dust around him. There's the linemen. It's the guys that are in the trenches that fight all day to either get to him or to protect them. You know, and it's always something. Just like Jose said, for every act, there's a reaction, you know. And it's always like that in life. And it just bothers me because it's like if they have the wherewithal to try to figure out, oh, where this came from or how this all started, and be like, whoa, well, let's see what's going on with Mason Rudolph, and let's just suspend him a game or something. But I know they don't want to set the Steelers back because they're on a run, and there's no Ben Roethlisberger, there's no backup behind him. So it bothers them on how things are addressed just in life, not even just sports, because it always happens like that. And we can all say that we've been in a situation like that, whether we were in school or at a water fight or something like that. They caught you doing something after the whistle was blown, and it's like, oh, I got caught, you know. So it's a sad situation for Myles Garrett, but what he did, I'm not, you know, giving him credit or condoning his actions at all. I'm not. Okay, so anything else? Before we get into the I do got something else, and I had it written down too before I got into it. I want to see how you guys feel about the Colin Kaepernick situation,
yep.
The workout.
Yes.
And with me and Jose had spoken about, I thought it had taken place last weekend. It was corrected that it was this weekend. They
yep.
were saying a good amount of people coming. There were only 8 that showed, but still yet he had a little difficulty. And it's like this is the whirlwind that's swirling around Colin Kaepernick is like trying to figure out how to stay away from having these questionable situations go down. I want to know how you guys feel about it. I'll start with you first, James. Your thoughts on the Colin Kaepernick, and I'll let everybody else fall in line behind you.
So I want to split this into like – so the one thing that I'm not quite sure what happened was the change in venue. So I was reading some posts on my favorite internet football forums, and it appears as though the venue changed like 15 minutes before the workout was set to happen. Now, I don't know if this was a Colin Kaepernick thing,
decision, and he said it was because he wanted the workout filmed, and according to Kaepernick, the NFL was not going to film it. That's Kaepernick's reason for switching, and he was the one who switched it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't like that. I mean, I understand the desire to want it to be filmed. I definitely understand that that desire to have that to want to have that happen, especially with all the circumstances around. Because then, you know, rumors could fly out. Oh, Cap didn't look that good. That's the reason why he's not getting signed by anybody, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But beyond that, I could definitely see teams saying, "Hey, this is a guy who's not in the league anymore," and he's holding a workout, and we were going to show up, and then he makes the decision to make this radical change 15 minutes before game time. I mean, that would, if I was an NFL team, I could see where I would say, you know what, I'm just not going. But that, so here comes to the second part. I watched probably about an hour of the 2-hour workout. On the short and intermediate throws, he could hit every single throw. The deep ball accuracy was erratic. And, if that's a major part of your offense, I could see why teams in that position would, opt out of the Kaepernick situation. But, he also did not look like he was in the best shape. To me, I mean, don't get me wrong, he didn't look in bad, like he was in bad shape, but this is a guy trying for an NFL football position, and he was a little soft in the middle, if you ask me. So, I think that if he was just some Joe Blow and didn't have the name and the distraction cut across to him, I could definitely see him being just from what I saw from the workout film and not putting anything else across from it, he probably would be better than a significant number of backup QBs in the NFL right now. And maybe one or two starters. But it's also not what a lot of people are saying when they say that he would be probably a top 10 quarterback if he was still in the league right now. That also is not what I saw on the tape.
Okay, Jose, your thoughts on the situation with Kaepernick?
I just really want to tell you, you know what? This is a big old story about him playing in the NFL. To me, Ty, at the end of the day, I think that bottom line is about NFL players playing the NFL and not having to stand up when it's the national anthem. To me, that's what it's all about. Even though they're going to make it as big as – to make most money out of this as possible, to give you so many different storylines, but people not looking into the bigger picture of it. Yeah, I don't care who goes sees him. I don't care what team he plays for. I mean, until he plays for my team, I have to watch him. But right now, you know what? Colin Kaepernick is winning, and that's it. That's the bottom line. It's not too much to talk about it. You're making too much stories about it. It's just, you know what? This is, at the end of the day, just it's all about our rights, freedom of speech, and you know, everything. All our civilian rights, our citizen rights, everything. And he's winning. Colin Kaepernick is winning, and I bless him and thank him for people like us who want to open up and say things, you know, as a free person and let my opinion maybe matter to someone else.
Okay.
See, I think this
thing was... hold on. But Jose, you may have to fix your audio because you're going in and out. So I need you to try and fix the audio. I don't know what's happening. Aaron, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's why I was just hopping in because I heard him go out. But, no, I mean, I think, to be honest, it was exactly what I expected it to be. It was all a PR stunt on both sides to begin with, and it was a hot mess. I think that it was the NFL's way that they were able to say, okay, look, we gave him a chance, we gave him a workout, we invited teams, even though we all know they put no effort into it. They didn't do anything to help him, to set him up, and it's so clear, it's so obvious, and part of the reason I don't see him being able to play again or making it back is there is such a mistrust between the two sides, and understandably so on Kaepernick's part, but everything they're saying is contradicting each other. No one knows what to think, and that's before you even get to the workout itself, and think about the fact that I agree with you, James. I mean, he was in decent shape, but there's a big, big difference, as everybody knows, between being in really good shape and being quote-unquote ready and being in football shape. And I don't care how hard he's trained, how much work he's put in. The fact is, he has not played football for 3 years, and there are not many people, if any, in this world who could just take a leave of absence like that and come back and pick up where they left off, and he was struggling when he opted out of that contract in 2016. I think that and you don't bring him in as a backup quarterback because it's too much drama right now. I agree that he would be a better backup than many, many teams have currently on their rosters, and I know there are some teams desperately in need of a quarterback, but think of the circus that comes along with him. Think of the baggage. Think of the drama. And what that could do to a locker room. And, you know, if you're a team that's out of playoff contention this year looking for a quarterback, you're probably better off with all the QBs coming out in the draft next year of just cooling your heels. And if you're a team in contention that needs to maybe find a solid backup or anything like that, why would you risk upsetting the dynamic of the team currently by bringing in something like that? And I think it's unfortunate that Colin Kaepernick suffers as a result, but it's just, you know, and I think it's unfortunate, as Jose said, that this all came and started because a man chose to take a stand for something he believed in, which is well within his rights as an American, and why people want to live in this country. So I think that's so unfortunate, but that we're still talking about it 3 years later and he hasn't played football. I'm hoping just for both, you know, Kaepernick's sake and all our sake that, you know, just either he gets a shot with a team and does it quietly and tries to rebuild his career, or, you know, at some point he's just got to to, unfortunately, understand that it doesn't sound like anything is really ever going to change with the NFL. This workout, I don't think, did anything to change his standing. Even Nike is involved. I know that according to the NFL, they wanted to film a Nike commercial. Nike's saying that's not true. I mean, it's just really a mess, and all that this workout did was highlight that fact, in my opinion.
His legacy is already built. It's already built. His name is set in stone for forever.
And it's so unfortunate because I've heard he's a really nice guy. I know he's around the U.S. Open a lot, supporting a lot of the younger athletes. And I, like I said, I think it's really, really sad that this all started because he chose to take a stand. And whether or not we agree with it is beside the point. He had every right to do that. He didn't break any laws or break any rules. And, yeah, like you said, he will now be synonymous with, you know, anytime someone ever kneels for the national anthem or doesn't stand or does anything, that's who you're going to think of. And you almost forget that, you know, he's played in a Super Bowl. He's led his team to a Super Bowl, and he is one of, you know, a great athlete. And it's sad to see the talent not reach its potential.
I'm going to just do it like this, and I need quick answers to all of our games because we're in depth and we're cooking today, so I'm happy that we got a lot on our mind. It's an unfortunate situation for Colin Kaepernick, especially the way that he was talking after the workout, and you know, it was kind of like he still was like jawing at them, and it's like you're trying to reinstate yourself, you're trying to get back out there on the field, and everybody that has a perspective on talking about, you know, he shouldn't be on the field because they feel a certain way that he's protesting about people losing their lives. It's not like he's disrespecting the flag because he was told this by a service member. Better yet, a Green Beret. Like, and let alone the guy that told him that was a Caucasian male. And it seems like all of the Caucasian males feel a certain way about it. So it's like, why is the stir around him when, A, he's a mixed male, he's half black, half white, he was raised by a Caucasian family, and a Caucasian male came to him as a part of the armed forces, told him to do this, and it's still a problem. So, Colin Kaepernick, your point is proven. People that feel a certain way about it, get over it, because it's just like the same situation that y'all held against Michael Vick. When Michael Vick was dog fighting, he got out of prison, people felt a certain way about him, but then he revitalized and brought Philadelphia back, and now everybody was back on Michael Vick. Now Michael Vick is on Fox News. There ain't nobody talking about Michael Vick. The same situation should hold about Colin Kaepernick, because I don't know anybody that's here or listening to my voice or watching football right now, if they had about $27 million in the bank and were entitled to another $60 or $70 million behind it, would give up everything to defend their fellow man. I don't care if they're black or Latino. I'm sorry, that's the way that you're looking at it. That is absolutely ridiculous, because it is all police brutality. It's not just one race, but this is what it's held to or what they see. Enough is enough. Okay, I'm going to get into these Week 11 games. I need quick answers because we have until 12:30. I have to get in and out of this kitchen as best as I can. And there was also one thing that I was looking at. I see at least 8 teams right now that Colin Kaepernick better than their starting quarterback right now. I'm saying that too also. Right now, and what these teams have in the NFL right now, he's better than 8 of them right now. I can list them if you want me to, or I could just go into Week 11. I can do that. First game I have, the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the road up against the Indianapolis Colts. I will see how you guys feel about the game. I will start with you first, Aaron. Your thoughts on the game. Who do you like in your fantasy player?
Well, first of all, you know, I think this is a big game for Nick Foles. You know, they went back to him. Gardner Minshew definitely did enough to show that he is capable of being a starting quarterback and leading the team, and he got the team behind him. So I think Nick Foles now has even more to prove than he did before. I think the Colts, luckily for Nick Foles, are catching the Colts at a time where they're really injured on offense. It's going to fall a lot on Marlon Mack's shoulders, but I see it's a big division game too, so I think it's going to be a close one. I just don't think Indianapolis right now has the offense with T.Y. Hilton out. You've got Paris Campbell out. You know, quarterback situation. And Jacksonville's defense is capable of really getting after the quarterback and playing well. I think that they're going to show up and try and support Nick Foles today. And I'm going with Jacksonville. And I like Nick Foles as my fantasy play.
Jose, who do you like in the matchup and your fantasy player?
I think that today is a big game for both, as you said. I think that I'm going to take Nick Foles, and he's going to come back doing what he did when he left off, throwing touchdown passes. So I'm going to take Nick Foles and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Love it, Jose.
His decision-making means everything.
James, they're at it again. I can't stop them.
Picking up where we left off.
I know. They're beyond reunited. I might as well start playing some other songs, man. James, who do you like in this game and your fantasy pick?
I also like the Jacksonville Jaguars. The injury report is the tale of the tale. While Jacoby Brissett's back, I believe Paris Campbell is out, and I believe T.Y. Hilton is also out for this game, which is going to make things a lot more difficult for Jacoby Brissett. With Nick Foles back, I think it does change a little bit in the dynamics of the offense, but at the end of the day, I think that this is perfectly fine. I'm picking the Jaguars, and I'm also going to throw in a sneaky flex play of D.D. Westbrook. Because Nick Foles is much more of a guy who throws shorter and more intermediate passes, while Chark is kind of like the deep ball threat all the time. So I think DeeDee Westbrook will get a lot more targets than he did under Gardner Minshew.
So Westbrook is your pick, right?
Yes, sir.
Clean sweep across the board. I'm going with Jacksonville as well. I think Fournette needs to have a big game. He's due, especially in this game where they could potentially get more time of possession in this game. They're going to try and draw this clock out. I'll go with Fournette to have a decent day running the ball and get that clock out of there. The next matchup I have is the Buffalo Bills up against the Dolphins. Is there anyone that feels Buffalo cannot go into Miami and win this game up against the struggling Dolphins, who have two wins on the season? They do have two on the season.
They're currently actually on the longest win streak in the division, believe it or not, with those two-game win streak.
I want the Bills. I just didn't. I cut off for a minute. I didn't know if I heard you right.
No. I'm going with the Bills. I was just joking a little. It is true with my boys in New England coming off the loss. The Bills lost last week. The Jets won, but the Dolphins have won their last two. So technically, they are the hottest team in the division. But I'm going with Buffalo and Singletary.
I'm going to try this again. Is there anyone in the kitchen that feels the Dolphins could win this game at home and protect their house? Okay. I just want to make sure. I just had to get my suits together. Okay, the next matchup that we have are the Denver Broncos on the road up against the Minnesota Vikings. Is there anybody in the kitchen that feels the Broncos can knock off the Vikings in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in which Dalvin Cook is looking to eclipse 1,000 yards? Wow, this is a lot of cricket soup. I didn't mean to start out the brunch like this, but hey. Hey, everybody in the kitchen is going Vikings. I know this. My mother would love you guys. My mom is a diehard Vikings fan, so I know she would love you guys right now. She probably is going to tell me after I get off air anyway. Okay, the New Orleans Saints are on the road up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is an interesting one. I really want to say this to anybody, but Vegas is up to no damn good, in which the Saints are favored by 5. Something is fishy in Florida. So I'll go around the kitchen to see how you guys feel about it. I'll start with you first, James. Your thoughts on this game. Who do you like in your fantasy player?
I'm taking the New Orleans Saints. I can understand why people would be a little more skittish on them after their performance last week against the Atlanta Falcons, but I consider that a fluke game as opposed to a trend game. But I think that whatever the over-under is, you should probably pick the over because we've got some injuries going on in that secondary, which places a lot of – which means a lot of points are going to be a lot of points are going to be scored because really Jameis Winston, every time I say this, he throws a complete dud of a game, but it looks like Jameis Winston is turning the corner and could be a stream start because he's going to be available in more than half the leagues at this point. So, but I am picking New Orleans, and my fantasy player of the game this week is going to be Charles Goodwin. Or Chris Goodwin.
Okay. Jose, who do you like in this matchup and your fantasy player?
Todd, before I answer this, Todd, there's a lot of games on today that you could just look at and be like, you know what? It's just going to be easy games today. I think that this is one of the lamer weeks in the NFL. But, all right, we'll get back to the game. New Orleans giving 5 to Tampa Bay. I mean, you're right, Ty. When I first looked at this, I'm like, you know what? This is something wrong with this bet. But you know what? I just think that New Orleans has too much offense, too much firepower. And I just – because we don't know when Winston's going to show up. So this is the division game. He could show up. We don't know. But I'm just going to take New Orleans in this one. I feel like we should all be picking New Orleans, but there's something could be, you know, that we don't – somebody might know something that we don't know.
Jose, I don't know what's going on with your phone, but you are in and out today. So you said the Saints, right?
Yes, I'm sorry, the Saints.
And who's your fantasy pick?
I'm going to go with Thomas, the best receiver in the game.
Oh, that's a lie. That's a lie. Okay, Aaron, who do you like in this matchup and your fantasy pick?
I do. I think the line is a little bit out of Vegas, but after what I saw last week, and I think Atlanta had more sacks last week against the Saints than they've had all of the season combined before that, I think it does make it kind of a funky game to pick. Tampa Bay's been so up and down, looks so good at times, looks so bad at times. They kind of obviously go as Jameis Winston does, but I do think New Orleans is going to bounce back from what you could almost call an embarrassing loss last week at home, and I do think that they will win this game. They won, I think, by a touchdown when these teams last played. That's kind of the outcome I expect today. A little bit of a back and forth on offense with New Orleans staying ahead in the fourth quarter. Fantasy, I do think, obviously, Mike Evans is a must start, but I'm going with him today, especially to have kind of a monster game because the last time these two teams played on October 6th, Mike Evans was held without a catch for only the second time in his career, and he has had this game circled ever since that date. You have Marshawn Lattimore out for the Saints, who's a huge part of that secondary, and they're banged up back there, so I think Mike Evans is just going to go crazy today and ball out. 150 yards, 2 touchdown type of day.
But you're taking the Saints, though.
I'm taking the Saints, though, yeah.
Okay. This is interesting. I'm scared of this, and I always do this. I'm going to take the Bucks. I'm scared of this 5. There's no way that the Saints should be hanging around with this type of spread. I think that this is one of those spreads that they should run this up a little. Like the Saints, I don't even want any team to build up some type of steam to catch the Saints. And this Buccaneers game, they know each other. There's something about it, man. And Jameis Winston, he's having a decent season. I mean, the only thing that's bad about him is his interception total. That's the bad part in the record. The record is bad, but he's having a decent season throwing the ball. So I'm going to go with Bucs. I'm going to get the panel, and Winston will be that guy. I think he can outshoot. I don't think it. I feel that Vegas, putting this into perspective, it's not, I don't feel this good. I really want to say if this was the Super Bowl or the NFC Championship, I'm going Saints. But today, Vegas is up to no damn good. I'm going with Winston and the Bucks. I'm going against the panel today. The next matchup, and this is the very interesting game of the day, Gangrene goes into Chocolate City up against the Redskins. I can't even do it. I can't even do it. So I'll start off with you first. Aaron, no. Matter of fact, I'll back away. James, your thoughts on the game? No, I'm going to go first. I'm scared to pick this damn game. I don't know who got it in the bag today. I'm going to favor the Jets today. I'm going to do it because Jose's here. I'm going to go with the Jets. Fantasy player, Donald. I got to go Donald. I don't know what this run game is going to look like. I don't know if they're going to make it interesting. But I'm going to go Donald and go with Jose today. James, your thoughts on this game? Who do you like in your fantasy player? James, you still happy? There you go. Come on. James, are you still there? Going once, going twice.
I'd say he's not there.
Right. Aaron, go ahead. I'll let you go. Your thoughts on the Redskins-Jets game.
I think this is going to be kind of an ugly game. I'm going with the Jets. There you go, Jose. I swore I'd never pick them again, but I do think that they'll win today. And I like their defense for fantasy. I think you're going to get a couple turnovers out of Haskins. You've got, you know, I could see another Jamal Adams beast-like play after last week, and I think that they are going to put a ton of pressure on him and really try and get in his head early. I see it being a low-scoring game, so I'm going with the Jets and the Jets' defense.
James, are you back or no? Do we have you? Are we having?
I'm here, Ty.
Okay, I got you, Jose. So Jose, let me know, who do you like in this matchup? Your boys are the Redskins, and who's your fantasy player?
Both you guys got fooled. The Redskins are favorites to win, and I'm choosing the Redskins. I'm taking the Redskins, and I'm going to take the Redskins defense. It's my pick of, like, my favorite, like, defense of the week.
Okay, he's going against the grain. The next matchup we have are the Atlanta Falcons in Carolina up against the Carolina Panthers, NFC South matchup. Jose, I'll come right back to you. Your thoughts on the game, and who's your player?
Now, you're telling me Atlanta whoops New Orleans behind, and the underdog versus Carolina? I know it's a division game, but something is wrong, Ty. Come on, let's be fair, Aaron, let's be fair. Something is wrong with this game. And when something is wrong, I'm going to take Carolina. I'm going with Carolina.
And who's your fantasy player?
You got to go with basically Superman's protege. Oh, protege. I'm going to go McCaffrey. You got to go with McCaffrey. I think he's the best player on the team. He's one of the best players in the league. He runs the catches. He's basically, they think about him on every play of the game. So I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey.
Aaron, who do you like in the matchup and your fantasy player?
I like Carolina. I think that, you know, even though the Falcons looked like a decent team last week, they've got Freeman out. They've got Austin Hooper's out. They just don't have enough weapons on offense to hang with McCaffrey. I know Julio Jones is a beast, but I'd put about five players on him and take him out, and then they're left with nothing. McCaffrey, in my opinion, is an obvious must-start. So taking him out of the equation, because if you have him, you play him every single week. I don't care what the matchup is. I don't care what's going on. That's a no-brainer. I'm looking for Greg Olsen. If you're looking for a tight end today, day. I know there's some injuries at that position. There's been some inconsistencies with the performances. I don't think you have, like you used to, those group of 8 to 10 tight ends who are almost putting up wide receiver numbers. So if you're looking for a start this week at tight end, I like Greg Olsen.
And you're going Panthers as well, correct?
Yes, I am. I did not hear Jose's pick.
Jose went with the Panthers also, and he took McCaffrey.
All right.
This is a tough one because just like Jose said, the Falcons beat the Saints last week, and I think that everybody's going to turn the leaf and look at this like Carolina should roll on them. I think that 4-point spread is like fool's gold. There's something about it. But I'm going to go with the Panthers to win this game, but I'm going to switch my fantasy. I'm going to go with Julio. I think Julio does have a decent day up against his secondary, but I think the Panthers will end up pulling this out. So I'm going Panthers and Julio. The next matchup to me is the game of the day. I have to say it like this because both of these dudes run the ball. This is the bang out of the day to me. The Houston Texans go to Maryland up against the Baltimore Ravens. You have Deshaun Watson up against Lamar Jackson. Which dual threat is the threat of the day? Like, I don't know which way to go on this. Aaron, I'll let you go first. Your thoughts on this game, Texans or Ravens?
All right. Well, this game makes me immediately go back a couple years to the first time these two played in college when Louisville and Lamar Jackson were actually ranked number 3, 2 spots higher than Clemson and Deshaun Watson. That game was an instant classic with Deshaun Watson coming out on top by a touchdown. Lamar Jackson drove his team down the field and came just up inches short. I see a similar game today. With the outcome flipped, I think that Lamar is going to come out on top today, and the big difference is going to be that running game, not just Lamar Jackson, but with Mark Ingram in the backfield, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see a few more plays with what they called the Heisman package with RG3 back there too, the three of them. I just don't think without J.J. Watt, and they got rid of Clowney, that Houston has is going to be able to get enough pressure on Deshaun Watson and disrupt him enough. Lamar Jackson and disrupt him enough, which is what you have to do to beat him. And I think they're going to have a really, really hard time shutting down their run game. And also you throw in the strength of Baltimore secondary, who's been playing some great football later. I see the Baltimore Ravens staying hot and winning this game. And Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, is active for today's game. And I like him to get loose a few times and put up a couple big-time catches at wide receiver for my fantasy pick.
So she's going with Hollywood and the Ravens. Okay, Jose, I'm going to go with you. Let me know who you like in this matchup and your fantasy player.
I'm going to agree with everything that Aaron says, basically, pretty much with the dual quarterback and running back. And just to let you know, these guys were 1 and 2 a few years ago in the Heisman finished race. So I'm going to take Baltimore in the race. I'm going to take Baltimore to win today if they're also at home. And as long as they got Mark Ingram and Jackson, I just think that you have to worry about just the straight running game because you don't know which way they're going to punch you from the running back position or the quarterback position. So if that's I think it's going to be a high scoring game. But I think Mark Ingram is going to have maybe a 3-touchdown game, maybe 2 running and 1 catching. So I'm going to go with Mark Ingram as my fantasy player.
Okay. This is tough. I don't know which way to go with this game. I'm going to favor the Ravens because I think the Ravens do have the stronger defense, but I do not want to get it confused about what D. Hopkins can do on that other side of the ball. I think he will show up against Peters and company. I think this will be a very interesting game. I don't think Deshaun Watson will sit up there and watch him get outballed by Lamar Jackson. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. And I, I don't know if I want to go Lamar or Hollywood like Aaron did. I'll go Lamar. Just for the sake of separation, I'll go Lamar as well. I'll go Ravens and Lamar as well. Okay. I'm mad about this, but I got to do it. Is there anybody that feels that Detroit can win this game at home up against the Dallas Cowboys?
I want to say yes. I want to. My heart does, but I just don't see it.
Everyone, including myself, is going Cowboys on this team. Stafford, I don't know what you're up to, but if you come back next week up against the Redskins, I'm laughing horribly hard at your situation. That's hilarious. The next matchup I have is to start the 4 o'clock games. The Arizona Cardinals are on the road up against the San Francisco 49ers. Is there anybody in this doggone kitchen that feels the Redbirds can go into, I can't even say Northern California, because Santa Clara and San Francisco is not Northern California, but a lot of people try to say that. But does anybody think that the Cardinals could knock off the Niners and start a losing streak for the 8-1 Niners? Another cricket soup. Everyone is going 49ers. So we got a lot of them. Right. I got to write it down. I got to make sure we all hear it, though. The next match, oh gosh, it's a lot of this too. Is there anyone in the kitchen that feels the Bengals can go to California and knock off the Raiders? And the Raiders are playing some impressive football at this point at 5-4. The Bengals are still winless at this point, 0-9, 0-5 on the road.
About to go 0-6.
Oh, my goodness. Everyone is
the number one pick, too.
Yeah, and hopefully if they get that number one pick, they will be shooting for a quarterback, because I think Andy Dalton's days are numbered. If not, I think they'll pull the trigger on him as soon as the season is over. But everybody is going the Raiders. Okay, this next one is going to be very interesting. Aaron will be going last. Jose, your thoughts on the Super Bowl rematch of 2 years ago? The Patriots go to Philadelphia up against the Eagles. Who do you like in this matchup in your community player?
Well, who won the Super Bowl when they played? Oh, okay. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles because it's only a 4-point spread.
We have to let another team win once in a while. You know, it's only fair.
No, of course. Hey, I'm going with the Washington Redskins. I'm not picking with my heart all the time. I'm just going, you know, with what I feel and what I see with the spreads and how it looks. You guys all went with New England against Baltimore, and I went with Baltimore. I'm not doing that because I hate New England. I pick New England all the time when I think they win. It's just it's like a 3.5 spread. I got it at 4.5, but that's not enough. I just think the Eagles will hang in there and maybe ultimately do a rematch, but we'll win there, you know? A win, you know?
So
we'll see.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me him finish up, Eagle. Aaron. You're going with the Eagles, Jose, and who's your fantasy pick?
I'm gonna say a coaching staff. I don't know. I just think it's just for you to tell me this is a rematch of the Super Bowl, and you're telling me it's only a 44-point spread. Something is not right. It's gonna be a low-scoring game, and I'm gonna say the running backs of Philly, the rookie, I forgot his name. He's not coming off the
ball. Miles Sanders.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I have another cook in the building. She's a chef for real. She'll cook it before I can get it out of my damn self. Okay, I'm not going to let her go. I'm going next. This is a tough game right here. Boy, is it tough. Wentz or Brady? You know what? There's a story of a guy named Brady. I got to go with Tom. I don't think the losing streak starts. We all know the numbers on when the Patriots do lose a game. It's not like they've never lost back-to-back games, but that percentage is pretty high. When Brady loses a game, they come back around and take care of business. I'm going with the Patriots, and let alone there's a revenge chip on his shoulder. I think he'll take care of business. And plus, there's a lot of networks out here that are saying that Brady is starting to show his age. I'm not even trying to wake that sleeping giant. Brady, you can lay down and rest. I'm going with the Patriots. And since you guys are talking junk, Brady is my start. I think Brady has a decent day up against the secondary. So I'm going Pat, and I'm going Thomas Brady. Aaron, who do you like in this matchup and your fantasy pick?
All right. Well, first of all, I have been known at times to let my heart become a factor in these picks, but this one for me is a no-brainer, and with my heart and my head, I like the Patriots. I think Brady has been waiting for this moment since the clock ticked down to 00 in that Super Bowl. He has openly spoken about just the lows. I don't know really how low it can get for Tom Brady when you're going home to Gisele Bundchen and that family and that bank account and that life and family. But he said it was a very, very dark couple days for him after that loss. And he has been living and waiting to get his revenge on this team. And that is the type of stuff that drives Brady, that motivates him, and that made him Tom Brady. When he has that chip on his shoulder, it's always there. But when it gets a little bit bigger, it really fuels him. He's gotten a week off to rest. He's gotten some more time with Sanu to get on the same page. He's gotten N'Keal Harry coming back today, who I've heard really good things about, and I'm excited to see him finally on the field. So I think that I also think a part of the low over-under is just respect for the Patriots' defense. It's not like Philadelphia has been tearing it up all season, putting 40s on the board every week. So I think that Wentz and company will have a hard time. I think Jordan Howard is out, which is just, you know, would give them a little added depth in their running game that they could use. But I see Brady having a monster day. I see him distributing the ball. Everyone gets to eat tonight. And I think Brady reminds us that even though he is 42, he's not going anywhere.
Okay. So you're going Patriots, and your fantasy start is Brady as well, or you have somebody else?
I think he has a very big game.
Okay.
Biggest game of the year.
She's copycatting. She's taking my food off of my plate. People, I'm a big guy. Tell her to leave my food alone. We have a caller calling in. Caller from the 203-240. Welcome to the brunch. What's your name and what's on your mind this afternoon?
My name is Lincoln.
Link Daddy, back again.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
When I look at this game, I think it's a defensive game, honestly. I think we can get anything done. I think we're going to score.
Wait, Link, you got to speak up. Link, you got to speak up. Link, speak
I
up.
Think,
I can't hear you.
I think Brady scores less than 15 points tonight.
How many? 50?
No, less than 15. 1-5.
Wow.
Oh, he's going to have a low day.
This is a defensive battle.
That is my type of caller.
Wait, hold on. So are you going with your Patriots or are you going with the Eagles?
Patriots by 3 points.
Look at the confidence in that pick, too.
So basically maybe 14 to 10, he's saying?
13-10.
Yeah, 13-10.
14, New England.
Look at him. I'm going to be coming for you, buddy. Don't just you wait. I'll be giving you a call later. I know that much. How about that?
He called it right last week. He called Lamar Jackson to have a massive monster game and put out the 100% confidence in him. So he's on a roll.
Whatever. And then ask him. He said that Lamar Jackson is way better than Russell Wilson. Well, then ask him now while he's on air and he's smiling right now. I can tell he's smiling. I can see him smile. Ask him.
Well, I'd say I'd love to have him back. We said we'd have him back if the Ravens got to the Super Bowl, and unfortunately, that road hopefully is going to go through New England. But I like the pick. Talk about not picking with your heart there, because I know Link's a huge Patriots fan.
Yeah, but I don't want to hear both of you on air depressed, but both of you are Patriots fans, diehards too at that, people, diehards. Okay, so we have the Sunday night matchup, and this is a pretty interesting matchup. The Chicago Bears are on the road in California up against the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are favored by a touchdown. Link, I don't know if you want to give me something on this. Who do you like in this matchup, Bears or Rams?
I like the Rams. They've been playing okay football, but I don't think Chicago can get this done tonight. I think Jared Goff will get it done.
Look at this. I got this little guy in here cooking for me. Okay, Jose, who do you like in this matchup, Chicago or L.A.? And your fantasy
LA.
Pick.
L.A.
I also agree, Ty. I'm going to go with the Rams. I don't think Chicago has a chance, even though I didn't think they had a chance last week. They put up just enough points to win. But the Rams, I think that if you look at any surprising team out of all the teams besides the Falcons, it goes to the Rams. Because they're in a tough spot. We don't know what they're going to do. They might not even make the playoffs. So, and we're talking about the team that won the Super Bowl last year. So I think the Rams are in a tight spot. They have to win. And I think Goff, he definitely has to do something today. So I'm going to go with Goff as my fantasy player today for the game.
Wait, what's going on? Listen, I don't know what's going on, but everybody's having difficulty. They are all going with the same pick and the same fantasy player. Everybody's doing it. I don't know what's happening. Aaron, your thoughts on this game? I know you have a strong feeling about this game, Chicago or L.A., and your fantasy pick.
Oh, yeah. This is the Rams season. Every game, for the most part, if they want to make a run for the playoffs from here on out, is a must win. Chicago barely had enough offense to scrape by a Matthew Stafford-less Detroit Lions, who are also on their, fourth string running back. I have no faith in their offense. They have to go out west, play on prime time with the Rams team, desperate for a win, playing at home. I love the Rams in this game, and I think that Goff is going to step up and finally have a big night. Watch out for Cooper Kupp as well. He was held last week without a catch. Made me look kind of silly going with him in fantasy, but I'm going to stick with him and look for him to rebound this week with a big, 8-10 catch game and help the Rams get that W.
So you're Rams, and who's your fantasy pick?
Cooper Kupp.
She loves Cooper Kupp, boys. Up something. She is a Cooper Kupp fan. Okay. This is interesting because I don't know what Rams defense is going to show up, and I want to go against Trubisky, but I'm going to go with the panel. I'm going to go Rams as well. I'm gonna do something interesting because I haven't said his name in a while. Todd Gurley. Like something has to happen, Todd. I've not heard from you all season. You have not had a game yet all season long. And you're one of the highest paid running backs in the league, and you're deserving of it. I'm not going to say that you're not, but you have to have one of these games. Enough is enough. There's no way that you can keep clowning around and getting by with this one. That's for sure. Okay, so we are on the last game, and this is the Monday night matchup. An AFC West game in Mexico City. The Chiefs versus the Chargers. The Chiefs are the away team. The Chargers are the home team. I won't even do, I just want to see how people feel about this game. I'll start with you first, Jose, and also give me who you like in the game, fantasy, and a closeout as well. Did we lose Jose? Jose, are you still there?
Jose's been on the struggle bus with that audio today.
Right. I'm just having bad reception for some reason. I don't know why. This is going to be a crunch game, a crunch mouth game. Last year, these teams split, I remember in the fourth quarter, it went for a two, and they got it, and it was just ridiculous. and the Chargers beat the Chiefs. For some reason, I think that the Chargers is one of the teams that feels more comfortable against the Chiefs. And I can tell you, tell me one team that could beat the Chiefs, pretty much, I would say the Chargers. They play them well, and I think they should play them well today. I mean, not today. Isn't it tomorrow night?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a night game.
Okay. And I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think they're playing well. I think they should take advantage of, you know, I think maybe he came back too early from his injury. We don't know. So you never know. I think that could come to linger up if he loses again. So I'm going to definitely take MD3, and I'm going to take the Chargers.
And who's your fantasy pick?
I'm going to say MG3.
Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
I try to give players nicknames sometimes.
Okay.
I can't imagine where you came up with that one.
Right. Somebody talking about the Amari Cooper.
That's almost as good as DAC. Who had that one last week? Was that you too?
AC. Turn the AC on.
AC for Amari Cooper.
I get more, you know. I try to get the best one. I'm not, even though I think of a lot, I'm not even going to come out with it if I don't think it's going to make us all laugh or, you know, I'm not going to stick with it. I try to stick with it.
Okay.
I can appreciate that.
Maybe we can come up with a nickname for Aaron.
I got a few in mind.
I'm still working on that. She has one of those I have to work with type of nickname when she does it. So I gotta see what we kid friendly now. I got kids calling it, so I don't know. So Aaron,
we're kid friendly, so that plays a role in it.
Right. Aaron, your thoughts on this game, AFC West matchup, Chiefs Chargers, and your fantasy pick, and also a closeout as well.
All right, well, Jose, get ready because I'm rolling with you. I think that the Chargers, you know, they've underperformed all season, and they have played tougher at home. They had a good win over Green Bay a couple weeks ago, and I like for them to pull off the upset. Phillip Rivers, you know, is going to fight tooth and nail to win every game, no matter what's going on, and I love that about him. So I'm going with him to have a big night. That Chiefs defense, you know, even if it's improved from last year, it was horrendous last year, so there was really only one way to go, and that was up a little bit. But I think that it's clearly a weakness of the team. They couldn't close out Tannehill last week when they needed to at home, and I don't think that they're going to run away with this division like everyone assumed they would at the beginning of the season. So I'm going Chargers and Phillip Rivers.
Okay, well, I'm going against the panel, and the reason why, this is a nationally televised game, and everybody wants to see one of the greatest shows in football being the Chiefs. I'm going with the Chiefs. As much as I want to say Rivers' name right now, I can't. The way that they played all season long has been questionable, and I don't think that their secondary is going to be able to slow down Tyreek Hill. I think that this is fool's gold with that 4-point spread. I can't see the Chiefs being 6-5. I can't see them moving forward throughout the season 6-5 on the season. I'm going to go with the Chiefs, and the fantasy player I'm going to go with is Ty. I'll go with Ty. We got the same name. I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill has an enormous game up against that secondary. All right, Sports City, we're going to get out of here. I know that we usually run overtime. We're having a lot of technical difficulty. I apologize on behalf of Sports City. I'm frustrated, man. As much as I got so many people that I got to get ready to run to this doggone Cowboys Lions party that I got invited to, so I got to get up out of this kitchen as best as possible. Love everybody that comes through here, man. Went through a crazy day, but I got to get in this kitchen and serve that good old food for thought. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.